to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, May 14th. I'm your host, James Edwards, broadcasting to you tonight from our flagship radio station, AM 1380 WLRM, located here in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. We're also going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network across the country, including our newest affiliate, which is also right here in Memphis, AM 1600 WMQM. Welcome to the Liberty News Radio family of listener affiliates, and welcome to the Political Cesspool. We're also simulcasting online tonight at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com, as we always do. Well, it's been a big show so far tonight, but I think it's safe to say that we have saved the best for last, because it is in this, our third and final hour, that we welcome Jared Taylor back to the radio program. Jared is, of course, a Yale graduate, the editor of American Renaissance magazine, and accomplished author whose titles include Paved with Good Intentions and his newest book, which is on sale now, White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. Jared, welcome back to the show, first and foremost.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back on.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, Jared, and I know that there is a lot of buzz going on out there right now surrounding your new book. I just got mine in the mail yesterday, so I will be reading it along with so many members of my listening audience this weekend, hopefully after they place their orders, and by the time this interview is done, we're going to leave them no choice. This is really a book, Jared, that deals with the fundamental reason that this show is in existence, why we're here, white identity. It's changed over the course of the last several decades, and I'm reading now from your excellently produced face sheet on the matter. You write, well, first of all, before we get to some of the bullet points, what do you think white identity is in the year 2011? Where do we stand on that issue?
We stand pretty low, unfortunately. An enormous number of white people have been browbeaten and bamboozled into thinking that there really is no such thing as a white identity. This is something that was taken for granted up until, probably about the 1950s. Whites realized they had certain collective interests and had to defend them. But since then, that consciousness has been beaten out of us to our great sorrow and has put us in great danger.
It's a concept so fundamental to those of us in the know that it almost defies belief that such a book should even exist or that it could be considered controversial, because as we well know, Jared, and I, as this book addresses, you know, all of the racial groups out there practice a fairly healthy form of ethnocentrism, in so much as they understand and identify their group interests, and they seek to advance those interests, be it through media or whatever the case may be, issue advocacy groups. They exist around the world in for every racial group except our own. Now, granted, there are a few organizations out there here in America, American Renaissance being one of them, the Political Cesspool being another, that seek to advance issues of white identity. But we are certainly, as you said, browbeaten. Why do you think that that double standard exists?
That's a very good question. I think that the denaturing and the demoralization of whites, I think in a way you can trace it back to the First World War, the Second World War. Those were terrible, terrible conflicts. And I think at the same time, white people are extremely idealistic. White people had this notion, for example, during communism, of trying to bring about a world in which people would live from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Abolish selfishness. I mean, this is an impossibly idealistic idea, but whites went for it by the millions. And I think the whole idea of the civil rights era in the United States The idea was that racial consciousness was just going to be dismantled on all sides. Everybody was just going to become an American, an individual. And whites, being the idealistic suckers that they are, I think by and large they went along with that. They did dismantle their racial consciousness in the expectation that everybody else would do the same. But of course, what it turned out to be was unilateral disarmament. Hispanics, blacks, Asians, every group in this country has their little bands, their little organizations, sometimes their big organizations, pushing their interests, if need be, at our expense. And so it's about time we rearmed.
That is one of the most excellent answers I've ever gotten to a relatively basic question. And folks, again, these are answers that you will find between the spine of White Identity as you go through and explore the pages of this book, White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. We're talking with its author, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance fame, and this book is a hot new release, just now out for purchase, and you can order your copy tonight by going to Jared's website, amren.com, amren.com, and get it there. We encourage you to do so while this show is on air or immediately thereafter. We're going to be talking with Jared in much greater detail and in much greater depth as this hour continues. But Jared, since we've kind of set up the foundation here, and I know we're coming up close to a commercial break, but I'm going to try to sneak in one more question. You write here that people of all races paid lip service to that which we were just speaking about, the ideal of integration, but they generally prefer to remain apart.
Yes. I devote the first chapter of the book to that, that despite this notion that we're all going to hold hands and stand in a circle and sing Kumbaya, when push comes to shove, everybody, really everybody, blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians, they all prefer the company of people like themselves. And everybody knows this. But the amazing thing about the United States is we're never supposed to point it out. Occasionally, a black person could say, yeah, I prefer being around black people. But if a white person were to say, yeah, I prefer being around white people, well, my gosh, you're a bigot and a hate monger, a Nazi, an anti-American. But this is obviously true, obviously true for all groups. And the first chapter is devoted to showing statistically how true it is in terms of our residential patterns, where we go to school, whom we choose to marry, who we hang out with. There's an enormous amount of self-segregation in this country that promotes the ideal of integration.
I'm holding the book in my hands, ladies and gentlemen, and it actually has. I mean, the cover alone is an incentive for you to purchase the book. It's got a pretty inspirational cover, and we're going to be talking with Jared Taylor about that and much, much more. We're just getting started tonight. We're talking about the latest groundbreaking book from the mind of Jared Taylor. Once again, it's White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. Stay tuned. We're just getting started with Jared tonight. Much more forthcoming as the political cesspool continues on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood,
baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Jared Taylor is our guest. He has just released his newest book, White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. As you can read at amren.com, this is a book, 10 years in a making, a book that serves as the sequel to Jared Taylor's seminal Paved with Good Intentions. In White Identity, Jared steers even further into forbidden territory that we are examining tonight on the Political Cesspool radio program. I tell you, I ordered my copy. I got it right here on my desk here in the studio tonight, and I encourage everyone else to follow our leads for a couple of reasons. Number one, it promises to be a great book, and it addresses an issue that too few books do right now, or ever have for that matter, with the kind of frankness and candor that you're only going to get from a guy like Jared Taylor. And we need to support, in addition to getting a quality product, we need to support the men who are out there serving as champions for our issues. And Jared Taylor has done that for many, many years. But before we get back into the contents of the book, Jared, I want to deal with the cover. Pretty inspirational stuff. How'd you settle on that one?
Well, I wish I could say that it had been a favorite painting for a long time, and I decided it would make a great cover, but it was not I who thought of it. It's the book designer, Kevin Slaughter, who thought of it. And it's a painting by a German romantic by the name of Caspar Friedrich. And it's called Wanderer Above the Sea of Fog. And it's a man with his back to the painter, and he's looking out over this, we can't tell if it's an inspiring or a terrifying landscape, but I thought that it was evocative of white identity, and that we face this very, very important turning point in our race as to whether or not we are going to rekindle some sense of who we are or whether we're going to be pushed aside. And that's the kind of thoughts you can imagine this man on the cover having as he looks out over this forbidding landscape.
Just the cover alone makes it sort of elicits a swelling of pride just to look at the cover. And it's that identity, Jared. There's something spiritual about those of us who identify with our ancestors. And it doesn't matter to me, you know, if I'm watching a show on the History Channel talking about the history of the Vikings, or, you know, you're watching something or reading a book about the gallantry and valor of the Confederacy, or even the end clip of Mel Gibson's Apocalypto when you see the Spanish conquistadors coming up with sails fluttering in the wind. There's something about that, you know, we can relate to. And I think there's something scientific about it. And this is something that your book addresses. You write, study after scientific study suggests that racial identity is an inherent part of human nature. And that was something that I was just talking about.
Yes. It's quite remarkable when you start looking into the literature. Even little children, people who are not old enough to talk, if you set them on their mother's laps and show them pictures of faces of different people of different races, they look for longer periods and with greater interest at the faces of people who are of their own race. And this is not just white children, but black children, Asian children, they all do. They are more interested in faces of their own races. Then there's another very interesting study that's been repeated many times, and that has to do with a portion of the brain known as the amygdala. The amygdala is involved in heightened awareness and wariness. If a tiger strolled into your studio, your amygdala would be going off like an alarm clock because you would be in a heightened state of awareness. Well, when you show test subjects pictures of people of different races, the amygdala picks up on the fact that somebody is a race different from your own. And this is the same for people of all races. They are more comfortable, their amygdala is more comfortable looking at people of the same race rather than a different race. There are many, many studies of this kind that show that it is an inherent part of our nature to be more wary around people who are different from us. And you can understand that. That's just a natural state to be. You are more comfortable, more at ease, more trusting of people who are similar to you rather than among people who are different from you.
And these are, of course, data that, as we say, Jared has systematically marshaled. He provides this data, study after study, in this book. So just another reason you need to pick it up. And, you know, you look, perhaps America has been on a downward trend since its very inception, but the last great era, I think, when you could look at America and identify it as the America that our ancestors carved from a wilderness, might have reached a cultural zenith back in the early 1950s, just before the Brown versus Board of Education decision. that was a pretty iconic America. And since then, we have really been spiraling in a bad direction. And this too is something that, Jared, your book addresses. Diversity of race, language, religion, so on and so forth, is not a strength for America, as we have certainly been indoctrinated to believe over the course of the last 50 or 60 years in particular, but a source of chronic tension and conflict. What does your book have to say about that?
Well, I think that my book, in all modesty, is the most ruthless and devastating dismantling of this idiotic notion that diversity is a strength for America. Of course, to try to demonstrate otherwise is like shooting fish in a barrel, because all you have to do is look at practically every instance in which people of different races, languages, ethnicities, etc., are put into contact with each other, and sparks fly. Whether or not it's in schools, when blacks and Hispanics are rioting, hating each other, beating up on each other, or in prisons, where blacks and Hispanics, and sometimes white people sort of at the edges of these things, are at each other's throat trying to kill each other, whether or not it's in companies where the blacks and the whites stick together and they don't mix much, even in the Clinton White House. Clinton made a big point of appointing all of these different ethnic groups. Well, they all stuck together, and there were resentments. They all fraternized together, or rather separately by race. Wherever you have a mix that is supposed to be a source of strength, it turns out to be a source of tension. And to me, it is just inexcusable that a nation should be repeating over and over and over again something that is demonstrably and obviously untrue. You can't build a healthy country by repeating things that are stupid and wrong. And so that was one of the points I was trying to make in this book, is just how spectacularly wrong this notion of diversity being a strength is. And, of course, it's all part of this effort to bamboozle whites into thinking that becoming a minority or being completely displaced by others is somehow a good thing. If diversity is great, well, an all-white country or a majority-white country would be no good. So it's part of this program of dispossession of whites to make us pretend that somehow diversity is a great thing.
America is certainly at a crossroads right now, ladies and gentlemen. Do we want to continue to look, act, enjoy the prosperity of a first-world nation, or do we want to become the new Sub-Saharan African nation? You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. America's on a precipice right now. We're talking about white identity, and it just so happens to be the name of Jared Taylor's new blockbuster book, available for sale tonight at amren.com. You have got to get a copy of it. Now is the time. This is a timely book. It's an important book. White Identity, amren.com. We're going to be back with Jared Taylor right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out
of this place. If it's the last time really flies on this show. We are heading into our third segment now with our featured guest for the night, Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance and author of the new book, White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. I have made mention of the fact a couple of times already this evening that I have ordered my copy, and I want you to do the same. I just got mine in the mail yesterday, and it is important to support the people who are out there fighting on our behalf. But much more than that, Jared is going to give you a quality product, a timely book, an important book that once you read, you'll be more than eager to pass along to your friends and family members. In this book, Jared argues that America must reassess dated assumptions and that we need policies based on a realistic understanding of race and not on fantasies. Most provocatively, and I think most importantly, Jared argues that whites must exercise the same rights as other groups. This is a main focal point of this book, as we now get into the meat of the content, that whites must be unafraid of considering their own legitimate interests. Jared Taylor concludes by warning whites in this book that if they do not defend their interests, they will be marginalized by groups that do not hesitate to assert themselves numerically and culturally. Jared, this brings me to a question, and I know it's addressed in your book. One of the most egregious double standards and one of the most outrageous hypocrisies in the world today, politics or otherwise. Non-whites, especially blacks and Hispanics, but now even Asians, as you write, openly take pride in their race and put group interests ahead of those of the country as a whole. And it is welcomed by the media and by the institutions as a natural and healthy display of cultural pride.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that, and then we'll get to the obvious double standard.
Well, yes, one of the, there was a fellow, I've forgotten his name. I write about him at some point in my book, but he tried to trademark the phrase, white pride worldwide.
I remember that, yes.
And the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office wrote him back and said, this is offensive. This is scandalous and outrageous, and we will not offer you a trademark on this. Well, he dug up all the trademarks that exist for brown pride, black African pride, and they've got Orgullo Mexicano, they've got Mexican pride in Spanish, Latino orgullo, I mean, all of these pride like crazy, but not for white people. Only white people, in the minds of the Patent and Trademark Office, that is scandalous and awful. And by the same token, I remember reading an article about this discovery of racial consciousness in children. And the author said, well, it appears that black and Hispanic children, they have this natural sense of a kind of ethnic identity. Well, it would be just horrible if white people had the same sense of ethnic or racial identity. Those words just leapt off the page. A blatant, spectacular double standard. Every other group is welcomed, as you say, encouraged to maintain this sense of healthy, yes, our group, we work for it. It works for us, all for one and one for all. But not white people. We are the only exception. In fact, for most liberal or mainstream institutional Americans, the only time when white people are allowed to speak as white people is if they are apologizing.
That's right. That's right.
We are sorry. We are sorry for what we did to the Indians, what we did to the slaves, what we did to the blacks, what we did to Latin America. We are sorry, sorry, sorry. That is the only time a white person is permitted to speak as a consciously white person. That's the only identity allowed to us. And that is suicide. If whites are never allowed to think of themselves as a group, as a race, except to berate and belittle themselves and apologize to others, then we are doomed.
You know, it's interesting. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we're really getting into the meat of this book now. I think by now you obviously know why you should move forward and purchase this book so you can explore these ideas in greater detail. But I remember that story, Jared, you relayed about the fellow trying to get that patent. That actually was one of the first stories we covered on this program. I believe that story came out in 2004, 2005, something like that. But there's just so many examples of these double standards being put into play. And isn't it interesting, we always hear about how race is a social construct. Race doesn't exist. Well, then if that's true, then what's the significance of Barack Obama being president? They get tripped up in their own hypocrisy, and it's so easily provable And, and I know your book is literally the handbook to do this, but, you know, the only reason whites are imprisoned as they are, and the only reason these double standards exist is because we allow them to exist, at least in America, for now, for the time being, there is still no crime for going out there and exercising the same rights to even have an identity as all of these other groups do, as you just mentioned. The worst thing they're going to do is call you a name, but we allow the fear of being called a racist to prohibit us from securing a future for our children. And I tell you, you know, that is not the white identity that was in play when we were colonizing the world and making the world a better place. You know, if the light goes out for Europeans and European Americans, the light is going to go out on all of civilization and all of humanity. So I guess, Jared, we've been talking about a lot of issues dealing with white identity here. This is obviously the title of your book. How do we restore a healthy sense of white identity? Do you get into that?
That is something that I don't talk about in this book. This book is, it has really two audiences. I wrote it with the first audience in mind being Americans, white Americans, who do not necessarily have an understanding of race. I've tried to write this in a dispassionate way to explain what the reality of race is in America, what America used to be like, what it is becoming now, and the implications of these changes for the country as a whole and for whites as a group. And so this is a book that I think you could give to someone who was even a liberal or someone in any case with a relatively open mind. And it takes them step by step through the hypocrisies, the silliness about these mottos about strength when it's a weakness. We're talking about diversity. It goes through all of this very carefully, step by step, and brings the reader to the point of realizing that if, in the face of all of these other groups, whites are not prepared to defend their interests, they will just be elbowed aside. At the same time, I think there is so much information here, so many facts, so many arguments, that even people who are pretty seasoned and understand the racial situation will find it eye-opening as well. So I wrote it with two audiences in mind. Number one, people who do not yet have a racial consciousness. Those are the people we absolutely need to reach, but also with enough detail and with enough interesting argument so that people who already have a racial consciousness will find benefit in it too.
Jared, you know, that's very interesting, and I can certainly see your tactic in writing the book in that way. It's obviously something, I mean, you know, people can readily see or hear from this radio interview. It'd be something that people who are racially aware would want to own, but also you could give it to someone who perhaps isn't as inclined.
I mean, after all, your radio program and my publication, most of our audience are people who already understand what the crisis is, what the problem is. Many of them are themselves working to try to wake other people up, other white people up, to this terrible future that we're building for ourselves if things don't change. And I think it's important to reach out beyond that audience. These are the people that have to wake up. And if somebody just by chance stumbles onto your program or stumbles onto a copy of American Renaissance, that's a good thing. But we have to be always thinking in terms of spreading the message beyond those who already agree with us.
No, I completely understand the logic. You know, you don't want to come down as preachy or condescending, but give them the facts and let them form their own conclusions. I completely understand that. And folks, get it tonight. We're going to have one more brief segment with Jared Taylor. We're going to bring all this full circle and summarize the book, but it is White Identity: Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. It's on sale tonight at amren.com. Amren.com. We'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
Right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, wrapping things up with Jared Taylor, talking about his new book. We've been talking about it extensively this hour, and we very rarely dedicate an entire hour to any given subject, but I thought that the content of this book, the issues that this book tackles, certainly warranted such an investment of time. It's White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century, available for sale at amren.com, A-M-R-E-N.com. Jared, one of the last major points that you make with this book, among many smaller, is kind of a continuance of that which we've already been discussing, that only whites continue to believe that it's possible or even desirable to transcend race and transform the United States into a nation in which race doesn't matter. Well, race certainly matters. Yeah. You know, it definitely matters. And I brought up the obvious point that I guess even a grade schooler could conclude, and that is, you look around at the successful nations, the advanced nations, and they all have a common denominator. Jared, you know, what's going on there in the psychology of these whites who have seemed to have forgotten who they are?
Well, that's a very good question. You mentioned earlier this notion that race somehow is a sociological optical illusion, that it doesn't really exist, that we've all been sort of tricked into thinking that there is such a thing as race. Well, as I like to say, that notion is so wrong and so stupid that only very intelligent people could persuade themselves that it's true. And you almost never find non-whites talking that kind of guff. You never find a black person saying, race, it's just an illusion, doesn't exist. No, they know perfectly well that it exists. They have a healthy notion, a healthy sense of race, so they're not susceptible to this kind of a flim-flam. It's only white people who stumble through life with their eyes completely closed, utterly fooled and tricked by these notions that have only one ultimate effect. And that is to make whites happy with the idea of being displaced and replaced by others. I mean, if after all, race is an illusion, and we're all basically identical twins with just a little different paint job, then it makes no difference if our children marry Bantus or Swahilis or if they marry people from Tierra del Fuego. It doesn't matter if people who look like us disappear from the face of the earth, because we're just being replaced by ourselves. Race doesn't exist. It's just a foul illusion. Well, as I say, the people who are in the process of replacing us, they don't buy that for a minute. They know very well that race is real, and they want their race to prosper, to flourish, to last forever. And those are precisely the ideas that white people used to have about race. The whole idea of carrying a culture and a people and a nation forward. If you read the kinds of things white people were writing, in the 1900s, the 1920s, the teens, even between the wars, this notion that somehow, it makes no difference if we disappear, it makes no difference if we give the country to the Mexicans or the Haitians or the Guatemalans, nothing like that, nothing remotely resembling that. And at the same time, if you go to any non-white country, the notion of, say, the Nigerians permitting some other race to become the majority in their country, or the Mexicans, or the Japanese, absolute anathema. It is only white people, and white people essentially everywhere in the world, who have been hypnotized into thinking that it would be just fine if they disappear. And this notion that race doesn't matter, that we're all really all the same, that's part of this enormous, dangerous, awful con game.
The book, ladies and gentlemen, White Identity. Jared, you know, we've covered a lot of ground tonight. I hadn't intended on taking calls this evening, but we've had quite a few for you, and we have just enough time left to take one. And we have on the line right now, I believe, Lydia in Florida with a question for Jared Taylor. Lydia, you're on the political cesspool.
Good evening, gentlemen. Jared, I really appreciate your website, Ameren. It's very informative. I did want to ask you a question about your book. Now, do the kid gloves come off? And what I mean by that is, I mean, I think everybody knows, you know, that the tares among us that have been expelled 109 times from various white countries are the ones behind our demise. Yet, you know, these same tares that control the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the AIPAC lobby and the media and the Federal Reserve, these are the people that are responsible for destroying the way the white race views themselves because of their Frankfurt schools and their Franz Boases. And you see, this is what people don't see. And you see, if white people do begin to see that, they will be called Nazis. And you see, there's a reason why they want to remain anonymous. They don't want people to realize that it is these hairs among us that are purposely trying to destroy white identity. They are the ones that are trying to cause white people to feel guilty. I mean, I have a video on YouTube of a school teacher that teaches a child, humiliates his child in front of the whole class that he's not really white. He's a peach kid. He's peach colored. And this is the kind of thing that is being taught in these Marxist schools. And if we don't identify who these people are that are doing this to our race, you know, that we got to get to the root of the problem. And I want to know if your book addresses that.
All right, Lydia, thank you for the comment, and we're running short on time. Jared, I don't know if that's exactly in the scope of this particular book, but we have just about a minute left for you to wrap that up and to also include anything that we have not yet covered that you think would be of interest to the audience.
Well, our caller is talking about the role of Jews in American and other Western societies, and that is not something that I address in this book. I think that's certainly a legitimate area of inquiry, but my interest here was basically explaining what the plight of whites is. And I think that people will find that I've done an effective job of describing how race works in America and how it works at this point very much to the detriment of whites.
And Jared, once again, remind people we've done it about a half a dozen times thus far, but we're not going to be able to do it enough to really impress upon the people's minds how important this book is and how urgently important it is that they reserve a copy, order a copy today. Jared, remind them one last time how they can do that.
Well, they can go to the website of American Renaissance, which is Amren, AMREN.com. And I would be happy to inscribe copies of the book to anyone who orders it. You can have it. There's a choice on the webpage. You can buy the book without any kind of markings on it at all, or I would be happy to inscribe it to whomever you wish. So I hope very much that your listeners will decide to buy a copy, one for themselves, and maybe one to give away.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it comes with my heartiest of endorsements, and again, the book, White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. Its author, Jared Taylor, has been our esteemed guest for the entire third hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Do me a favor, do yourself a favor, go order this book tonight at amren.com. Jared, my friend, God bless you and all the work that you do, and we look forward to having you back on this program in short order.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure, Jim.
Jared Taylor, everybody, American Renaissance. Get his new book, Amren.com. And we want to thank Jared for taking an hour out of his busy schedule tonight to join us and talk about the contents of his book. while you're surfing the internet and visiting American Renaissance and ordering the book, don't forget to also make a pit stop by our own website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We talked a little bit in the second hour about some of the news stories that are currently being featured at thepoliticalcesspool.org, but there's much, much more on there that we did not have time to get into tonight, so you're going to have to check it out for yourself. At the website, Winston Smith wrote a good article. McDonald's is trying to spend $1 billion to go upscale. Well, we've been covering a few stories that have occurred at McDonald's that in recent weeks that might show you that that is not such a good idea. Alternative Right has reviewed the movie Thor, which features a black actor as one of the Nordic gods. Great review there from Alternative Right. Much, much more featured at thepoliticalcesspool.org. On behalf of my entire staff and crew in Memphis and in Utah with Liberty News Radio, I am James Edwards wishing you a great weekend, a great Saturday night. We'll see you next week, everybody, right here on TPC.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.